The Senate is pushing regulations to get self-driving cars on the road faster with car makers in the driver's seat. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Right now, states and cities decide if and how they want autonomous vehicles on their streets. But the Senate is considering a measure that would standardize the rules of the road and let car makers sell more cars with self-driving capabilities over the next 3 years. The House has already passed a different version of the bill. Republican Senator John Thune of South Dakota and Democrat Gary Peters of Michigan sponsored the Senate bill. Senator Thune spoke to me about it from Washington. The bill lets car makers ask for exemptions from existing federal safety standards. I asked Senator Thune whether those exemptions actually lower safety standards.
No, they have to obviously treat these cars differently than they might some existing vehicles. But essentially what you're talking about, the number of vehicles that are allowed, exempted from some of the normal requirements, ends up being about, I think, 1% per manufacturer, or less than 1% per manufacturer. So it's a very small number of the overall cars that are sold every year in America. We have about 17 million vehicles that are sold in America every single year. And so what's allowed for in this legislation is a certain number of those to be designed with some of these self-driving features. But with all the reporting requirements that we have in here with respect to the safety issues, we feel like this is a very safe way to advance this technology with, we think, tremendous safety benefits down the road if we can reduce the number of fatalities that we have on our highways every year.
You know, just in the past year or two, though, we've seen major automakers really defraud customers, lie to get around safety requirements or environmental requirements. I mean, can we rely on car makers to accurately self-report what's going right and what's not?
Well, we require in those reports, there are certain things that they have to report on. There are certain issues that they have to address in the safety reports. And so I think that we have safeguards built in there. And yes, there's a certain amount, as there is always is, when it comes to reporting expectations that people are going to play by the rules. But the Department of Transportation, we think we give them sufficient authority to enforce and make sure that these safety reports are being filed and being filed in a transparent way.
What kinds of exemptions could car makers request?
There are, I think, from most of the requirements that exist with regard to vehicles that have drivers. You know, I mean, there are certainly differences that will exist with a driverless vehicle that in terms of how the regulators treat those, because, you know, we have lots of laws today, for example, that require that you have a steering wheel. Well, if it's a driverless vehicle, you really don't need a steering wheel. So there are certain things and exemptions that will be available to some of the cars that are designed for self-driving purposes that perhaps, yeah, like I said, will be different than the regulatory requirements for driving, human driving vehicles.
I want to talk about data for a minute. There's a large privacy component to these vehicles. I mean, location data is very sensitive. People could use it to figure out if someone is cheating on their husband, for example. Are we trusting, particularly at a time when people are very nervous about tech companies and their private data, are we trusting these companies to use it well and protect it?
Well, you know, I think it comes down a lot to what the companies are collecting. You're right. There's a real sensitivity in our culture today about privacy, and I get that, and I think it's something that, you know, it's going to be really important to distinguish between information that's specific to a particular person from safety information that's necessary to constantly improve the performance of these vehicles, and like whether they're effectively avoiding certain types of collisions. And it's going to be an issue that we continue to debate as we look for longer-term solutions. But I think our bill does include provisions that help address that issue in a number of ways, one of which is the reports I said that manufacturers are required to file. Those will be public, so people will know the types of data that's being recorded by these self-driving vehicles. And then you'll have this database that the DOT maintains that will describe the data that is collected by these self-driving vehicles and how that information is going to be used, how information unrelated to vehicle performance will be limited and ultimately destroyed, and the privacy policies that these manufacturers have to maintain. And most of what's going to be collected is going to be information that's collected that's related to the safety of the vehicles and the performance of the vehicles.
And then sort of big picture, what do you think this bill means for the landscape in terms of deployment of self-driving cars in general? Like, when do you expect to see these cars, you know, on the streets of South Dakota? And does any part about it make you nervous?
Well, you know, I think anytime you start talking about new technology, there's always in our, among all of us, sort of a resistance to change and a fear of the unknown. And there's a certain, I suppose, element of that in this technology as well. It'll be disruptive. There's no question about that. But disruptive in a way, I think, that in the long run will yield huge safety returns and dividends, as well as add significantly to the productivity in our country and the convenience and help people who have transportation needs that can't be met today by some of the existing modes of transportation and technologies that exist. And so I just think that the sky's really the limit. I'm really excited about this, and I think the bill opens the door, paves the way, if you will, to that future. And it clearly, it's not the final answer. We know we're going to be taking, you know, we're going to constantly be looking and monitoring this and trying to figure out what role Congress can play next, what role the regulators can play next, and making sure that the policy framework is in place that enables the technology to advance in a way that, again, has optimum safeguards and ensures that it's done in a safe way, but also takes full advantage of what we think could be enormous benefits to our society. And I think it's kind of one of those things in our economy that comes along every once in a while that just has a really dramatic impact on the way we live our lives. And I think this kind of technology has that potential.
That's Senator John Thune of South Dakota, one of the sponsors of the Senate self-driving car bill. One thing to note is that these rules will, to some extent, override city and state regulations. California, for example, has some of the strictest regulations on self-driving cars and is considering more. But even most of those rules generally leave it up to car makers to determine how safe their cars are. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.